Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
This is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited about my guest today. I just bought his book, Super Scaling, Systematize, Break Free, and Skyrocket Your Business to Millions. I have Alvin Poe with me here today. Alvin, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
That's a great tagline. Systematize, break free, skyrocket your business to millions. A lot of good hooks there. And I'm a fanatic about systematizing things. So let's kind of start with, how did you become an entrepreneur? When did you know you were an entrepreneur? Because I want to get my audience to kind of, you know, feel your journey a little bit and see why you wrote the book.
Yeah, I love it. Some context is great. I didn't think that I was an entrepreneur way back at the start. I started my journey purely out of survival, I guess. I come from a pretty low income family. My parents, they weren't wealthy, but they weren't broke as well. I had enough to eat. I was surviving. But if I wanted to hang out with my friends, you know, go out to restaurants, buy the latest books or toys or video games, I had to come up with the money myself. So it was purely out of survival. You know, do I take a part-time job that pays me $5 an hour, or do I become a freelance web designer that pays me a lot more with time flexibility as well?
Yeah,
so
I love that. I know where you're going with this. And
I
agree. I didn't have any money for anything extra. Anything extra, clothing wise, anything that was just one step above survival, I had to pay for.
Yeah, that was my journey. And that, I guess, got me into entrepreneurship. I didn't even know the word back then. It was just business, you know, figuring out like this problem in the market and then figuring out a business to solve it. At that point in time, my high income skill was web design. I knew web design at the age of 16, and people were willing to pay me for that. And that got me started into business. That was how I met my co-founder.
Yeah, and it's funny that you said that, because I'm just going to feed off of that. My daughter went to undergrad school and you know, is working actually on a master's degree. My son had no interest in college and could have got a scholarship athletically. And, you know, I looked at his account last month, and he's not even 21, and he made $14,000. He has a unique skill like you. He's incredible with TikTok and
wow.
Other things. Yeah. You know, so he was working on TikTok in high school, and it's funny because he'll just like go today, he goes, I made a video today. And he goes, what do you think I made? You know, and he just throws a number out at me. I'm like, that's what your teachers made this week. That's what your teachers made this week, because there's so many, you know, if you have a specialized skill like web design or anything in this new thing, because you're not going to learn how to do that in college. It moves too fast. It changes. It's way too disruptive. It just changes so quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Industries are changing. Like industries a year ago are completely different a year later. It's crazy. And universities can't keep up. We've got to learn those skills ourselves, learn them outside of the classrooms so that we get these high income skills. That's my journey as well.
Yeah, I would go speak at college. I've said this is bad, but I'm going to start again. I've yet to speak at a college where I would have paid that professor to teach my son. Well, that's all I can tell you. I'm glad. You know, it's great. You get invited to colleges. They never listen to the podcast. But I've never been to a college yet to speak where the business professor who had me, I would say, yes, I trust you to teach my son how to start and grow a business. No chance.
Yeah.
No chance on your life. So tell me, okay, so you see a web designer. Now you meet your co-founder, and what happens then?
I met my co-founder at the age of 17. First day of school, I enter school, don't know anybody there, sit down beside this guy at orientation. He turns out to be my co-founder. We do everything in school together, school projects, assignments, everything, right? And that gave us the confidence to start working on a business during the school holidays. And that just started growing. We started off as freelance web designers. We incorporated a business. And because we were so young at that time, it wasn't even legal. So we had to get our parents to help. But eventually we pivoted and that web design business became a web hosting business. And that business grew and grew and we scaled it up to be the largest in Singapore.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just amazing. I know I was cheat sheeting. I was looking at some of the numbers that you guys did. And, okay, so now tell me this. So when do you get an idea to write, you know, to write a book? So obviously, okay, you guys create an incredible company that's amazing in your in your country. And then you get the idea to write a book. How did that all come about?
It stemmed from two main reasons, I'd say. The first reason is because of all the people that were approaching me after the acquisition. A lot of them coming from my alma mater. My alma mater, they picked up on the story and it got really popular. And a lot of student founders, alumni founders approached me for help. They wanted to ask for my advice, to ask for my mentorship. But I found that I couldn't really relate. I don't know if you face that problem, but if somebody comes up to you with a question, like the question most commonly is, how do I grow my business? Now, that question comes from this place where you don't know where they've been, what kind of experiences they have, what they've tried, what they have not tried. And so it's very difficult to give them a very definite answer to that. And I found that, you know, and over time, this question kept happening and this problem kept happening. So I realized that one of the things to overcome this is to have a very common understanding, and that comes in the form of a framework. So I spent 2020, actually, when COVID struck, to actually spend time developing a framework, codifying all the lessons and experiences that I went through as an entrepreneur, those 20 years of entrepreneurship, just distilling that down into a framework that people could understand that I could use to communicate with them. And the second reason is it's kind of selfish because I want to codify all the experiences that I went through, like that 20 years that went past, what did I learn, what did I develop, the experiences that I had, why did I do the things that I did and not, and put them all in the framework. So that was the genesis of the 5E skill engine. And then I decided to write the book after all that was done.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. Super scaling, systematize, break free, and skyrocket your business to millions. And who doesn't want to have a company that does millions? Give us just a few things that, like, if you were working with, you know, a startup company, and obviously, you know, we'll try to pick the main things that you see as the problems that they make. Give us some of the goodies from the book that you find that just a lot of startups fail to do, and that's why they're not scaling and they're not hitting the millions.
Yeah. So at first, when I was developing the framework and when I was initially coaching the clients that I had, I thought that it was all about the business. I thought it was all about, you know, the business that they were running, what they were doing and whatnot. And I thought wrong. That wasn't the case at all. And that was why the framework actually iteratively, you know, grew bigger and bigger as time went by. At first, it started off with three principles, then four principles. And then at the end, I realized that I had left out one key component. And that was the component that affected most founders and entrepreneurs.
What was that?
That was the first principle. It was all about the entrepreneur, the mindset.
It's funny you say that. I got to interrupt because I'm going to work with you on this and we're going to beat this one. We're going to punch this one in the jaw. Because I've said the same thing. I've told my staff that I won't work with any startup founders in the first 2 years. Like, they've got to get the business up and going because I can't give you what you need. In other words, it's so much of you. It's not the business. It's the person. Like, I bet on people, not on the business idea. Like, are they tenacious? Are they competitive? Do they have good people skills? Can they sell?
Absolutely.
You know, all those intangibles. That's why I wanted to beat that into the ground, because people say, well, I got this great idea. And I'm looking at them because I would do seminars and stuff. And I would look at them and I go, I wouldn't invest in you mowing my grass. Like, you have no energy You know, there's nothing about, nobody's going to want to work for you. And you know, that sounds bad, but I realized that no way. It is the person. The first 2 years of that business, it is the founder.
Yeah. And sometimes, actually, a lot of times, it's whether or not you can scale the business, whether or not you can systemize, that really depends on the founder itself. Not his capability necessarily, but sometimes the limiting beliefs that keeps him back, right? When I was starting off and growing my business, I had problems like that as well. When I was a kid, my parents told me that working hard was a value, and I didn't understand what working hard meant. So I kept all the work to myself, right? And that was a big, big problem if you wanted to grow a business, because there are two things that you need in order to scale a business. And that's one, systems, and two, a team. And you've got to delegate. You've got to let go of the tasks that are on your plate. As a kid, I was just grabbing hold of everything until I was overwhelmed. And then, you know, it was like beaten out of me. And that was when I realized that working hard doesn't mean you keep all the work to yourself. Working hard means that you've got to work smart as well. Let your team be empowered to do the responsibilities or their tasks well. And then you as a business leader can have the time and space to strategize, to work on a vision, to create the stuff that only you can do. That was something that I learned the hard way.
No, it is so true, because I grew up in that same idea, you know, hard work, hard work, hard work.
Yeah.
Listen, I can work hard at 80% of things that I stink at, and it doesn't matter. It's not going to move the needle.
Right, exactly.
I'm not good at them. I don't like to do them. So I can work as hard as I want. I'm still going to stink at it. Now, I have a few things that I think I'm really talented at, and when I put my focus at that, it moves the needle. My company gets to the next level. But it's very, very, very few things that I focus on anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And the strange thing is, we can find people to do the stuff that we suck at, and they'll do it so much faster. They'll do it in an instant, better, faster, and sometimes cheaper than we do. So
So much cheaper. In this day and age, I am shocked. Now that you can get help globally, it's amazing what you can get people to do. I'll just leave it at that. But you can get almost anything at a fraction of your time. So obviously, we're big fans of systematizing things. That definitely changes everything. What do you find people to be I don't want to say the mindset of it, because too many people just spend too much time on that. But what pieces of advice, if you had to bet your, you know, if you were on an elevator helping an entrepreneur, okay, and this was, you had like 30 seconds, and he's like, my I just can't take my business, you know, I can't get it to $1 million. You know what I mean? I'm doing 100,000. I'm 2 years old, but I want to take it to $1 million. I've got a few strategies that I would tell anybody. Now, whether it works for them, who knows, but I'm curious, what are the things that you really promote to get that hyper growth?
The concept that I want my founders, the people that I coach, to really embody and to embrace fully is the concept of leverage. It is the question that the startup founder, the solopreneur, the person that just started his business always goes through. And the question that they have on their mind is, how do I solve this? How do I do that? How do I get more clients? How do I, you know, fix this? It's all about I. And when you're thinking about I, you don't have leverage. So I want my founders, my entrepreneurs, these clients that I serve, to start breaking that and start thinking of we. How do we solve this? How do we use resources that we have to serve our clients better? How do we solve or fix this issue? These are the things that should go through their mind. It's a simple change from I to we. And that is all there is to the concept of leverage. I think once they understand that, it's going to be a game changer and allow them to really get to the next level. Because again, it depends. Scaling depends on just these two things. The team and the processes. So
I agree with you. I remember when I started one of the companies I had, and we were about 200,000, and I bought this person's company and brought them on as a partner, and then we went to $1 million within 2 years. And then I said, "Oh wait, partners work." And then I've been rinsing and repeating that formula for 20 years, and now we're in the millions. So hey, listen, I'm a big fan of it. I have Alvin Poe with me. He's the author of Super Scaling, Systematize, Break Free, and Skyrocket Your Business to Millions. Hey, if you listen, you can take it to billions. Alvin, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. How can my audience connect with you other than buy your book at Amazon and different things like that? It's on Audible version there. It's on paperback. But how can they connect with you and get your services?
I'm on all social media. If they use Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Alvin Poe Official. They can find me on my website as well, superscaling.com. I'm in fact on all forms of social media. So hit me up there, connect with me there. I look forward to speaking with all of them. Thank you again for having me on this show. Absolutely honored.
I love the title of the book. I ordered it right away. I ordered the books of all my guests. Again, this is Sean Castorina with the 10 Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. So thankful that you continue to listen. We are brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. If you need more leads, you need more sales, you need more traffic, or if you just don't understand marketing, go to GetStartedMarketing.com, get a free analysis. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast.